Mini episode 302 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by The Unheard Scene, your home for great music interviews of all stripes. Follow them on the web at unheardscene.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to mini episode number 302 of the FDH Lounge. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris here with the FDH Lounge preview of Breaking Bad episode 5.13, which is called To Hajali. Throughout the second half of the final season of what has arguably been the greatest TV drama of all time, we're ranking the five most important developments of the most recent episode and assessing how they set the table for what's to come. Showrunner Vince Gilligan has warned that developments in the final eight episodes will come more fast and furious than ever before, partially because a greater span of time is being covered, and partially because an absolutely epic ending awaits. So the overall deck will be getting reshuffled quite regularly, making these episodes the most concentrated form of the epic thrill ride to date. Coming out of episode 5.12, here are the top five developments setting the tone for 5.13. Number five, Marie contemplates trying to best Walt with chemistry. Few reviewers are treating this with any kind of significance, but it's unsurprising that one that was savvy enough to attach some importance is our old friend Kimberly Potts at Yahoo TV. From the very beginning of the series, the characters have been affected by the actions of random doofuses at various key points. Marie is certainly capable of being such a doofus, especially in her extremely agitated state. Everyone takes it as a given that there will be big curveballs looming in the final four episodes. Why wouldn't one of them be Marie going rogue? Fearful that Walt is going to get away with his crimes, and either following through on the poisoning plot or attempting another cockamamie revenge attempt. Number four, Hank stops Jesse from burning down the White household. The writers cleverly held off the reveal of why Jesse didn't finish his arson project until the episode was well underway, when the flashback then revealed that Hank, who had been following him, broke it up. In that moment, Jesse finally starts to realize that Hank might be a good instrument for revenge on Mr. White, and he consents to temporarily move into the Schrader household. However, our supposition 2 weeks ago that we would find out how much Hank learned from his ham-handed attempt to flip Skyler gave its first indication of coming true here, and the early indications are that it's not promising for the proprietor of Schrader Brow. Knowing now that Walt was the one pulling all of Jesse's strings, and that Walt was the one who caused Hank to beat up Jesse previously with the Marie car accident hoax, Hank could have cemented the newfound alliance by apologizing for that beatdown and trying to bond with the kid on a more human level than their common lust for revenge. While Jesse didn't hear Hank give Gomi the "if he dies, he dies" routine about the plaza meetup, the young man clearly had no illusions about the depths of Hank's commitment to him, thereby setting the scene for Jesse to throw out the script in the last scene. Number three, Gomi gets briefed on the true identity of Heisenberg off camera. It's truly hard to criticize Gilligan and company for any of their decisions, but this reveal, while one of the smaller ones on the show, was notable for not being shown to the audience. Then again, Hank told Marie about Walt off-camera 2 episodes ago, and that's a much bigger reveal. This outcome was not very surprising, since Gomi is noted for having some doubts in Hank's hunches at some points, but supporting him when push comes to shove. But it would have been nice to see the wheels turning in the head of one more person conditioned to see Walt as a wimpy, middle-aged nerd. The takeaway is that Hank does have a beachhead of support in the DEA now for his investigation, even as he is nowhere near ready to tell his superiors the identity of his great white whale. Number two, Skyler breaks bad like never before, urging the murder of Jesse Pinkman. In retrospect, Anna Gunn's recent op-ed in the New York Times questioning the depth of online hate for Skyler now seems like a brilliant bit of trolling and anti-foreshadowing, as the woman now labeled Skyzenberg by many reviewers has, for the first time ever, leapfrogged Walt in plotting evil. Admittedly, she sees everything about the Heisenberg persona as Walt losing the capacity for human feeling and emotion, so she can't even begin to fathom the depth of Walt's complicated feelings for his protege. But her actions here now make her earlier alleged moments of Breaking Bad seem tame, as advocating Jesse's killing goes far beyond mere money laundering and even the complicity in Walt's blackmail tape to Hank. While some blog commenters suggested after this half season's premiere that Skyler might want the loose end known as Jesse Pinkman to be tied up, it was hard to tell if that was just another flight of imagination that this show can trigger. But that's exactly where the writers went, and Skyler's suggestion to Walt carried an impact that Saul's identical admonition did not. Skyler is now without question all in, and she will have Jesse's blood on her hands if Walt's efforts are successful. And Walt's efforts to spend the last chapter of his life once again as Walter White instead of Heisenberg are now for naught as his final shred of humanity dies before he does. Number one, Jesse calls an audible, stopping what would have been Walt's confession straight into a DEA wire and setting into motion his own plan, causing Walt to decide that it's time for Jesse's own figurative trip to Belize. Hank's trap would have ensnared Walt had Jesse followed through with it, but the irony is that the episode began with Hank foiling Jesse and ended with Jesse foiling Hank while they joined forces in between. Jesse's realization last week that Walt poisoned Brock provided the final rupture in the surrogate father-son relationship, but Walt didn't grasp until the plaza meeting was scrapped that Jesse's view of him and intent toward him was irreversible. And what was the first real stop to catch your breath and set up the pieces episode of this final run, Jesse's declaration of war on Walt at the end, was one of many moments that revealed how ruthless Walt has made those around him. Skyler, Marie, and even Hank all showed flashes of moral brutality that once would have been seen as unthinkable. Now, halfway to the finish line in the program's stretch run, Walt has crossed one of his final red lines by putting out a hit on Jesse while he and the viewers anticipate the grand plan hatched by the often underestimated protege. With the beginning of the reintroduction of Todd and his associates into Walt's story, the outlines of the endgame are coming into view as the excitement and implications build exponentially. Thank you for tuning in to FDH Lounge mini episode number 302.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.